I have been hosting programs on NPR for 30 years, 5.5 years on All Things Considered, 24 years and 6 months on Morning Edition. But this program is the last I shall host. I have been reassigned as a senior correspondent, and you'll hear my first effort in that role on Monday's program. Many of you who read about this in newspapers have written to wish me well, and I cannot thank you enough for all the support. I've said many times you're the audience a broadcaster dreams of having. Nor can I personally answer all of that mail, but perhaps I'll see you in the coming weeks on a book tour that begins very soon. Another morning journalist with a new book is Charles Osgood, creator of The Osgood File on CBS Radio, and host of Sunday Morning on CBS TV. The title is Defending Baltimore Against Enemy Attack, A Boyhood Year During World War II.
This year of 1942, I turned 9. Everything that I can recall just about had to do with things that you did during the war. The rationing. We were doing blackouts and preparing for it. We had a victory garden. We had a fat can in the refrigerator where you kept all your drippings because those could be turned in.
You put little Japanese and American flags on the map?
Yeah, well, I had one of those little maps. I don't know how I got a hold of it. I think maybe my father had picked it up somewhere because he knew that I was kind of interested about where in the world these things were going on. And I also was delivering newspapers at the time, so I would be able to read about something in the paper, in the Baltimore Sun, and then make an adjustment on the map.
And you were certain the Japanese were going to find Baltimore to be ground zero?
Well, I was a little confused about who'd be most likely to bomb us. But, you know, the Martin Bomber plant was there in Baltimore, and so that was the only reason I could think of that anybody would want to bomb Baltimore. But we acted as if, you know, we were the prime targets.
And what you knew of the world beyond Baltimore, you knew from radio.
This is true. In fact, I think it was during World War II, listening to those voices that still ring in my ear of Lowell Thomas and Ed Morrow and Gabriel Heater and all of those voices, that really opened up the world for me. And it was not only news, of course, that you got that way, but you got these little adventure stories that were on radio, all these things that were done for kids at the end of the school day. You could listen to the Green Hornet and Superman and Little Orphan Annie and all those shows.
Well, they were the rhythm of life. You knew all the jingles, you knew the themes, you knew the catchphrases.
I can remember listening to Kate Smith on the radio in the afternoons, High Noon in New York and Time for Kate Smith. And other shows that, some of them were produced by High Brown, who produced Bulldog Drummond and the Goldbergs and a lot of things that I used to listen to on the radio when I was a kid, especially Inner Sanctum.
But where did you cross the line and go inside the box?
Well, the first broadcasting that I did is when I was in high school. There was a little club that used to do shows on KYW and WIBG and some of the other stations that were in the area. And I would either be the narrator or I would be one of the characters in the play or I would play the organ. So I really developed a taste for it then, and I think I knew even before the first time that I ever walked into a real studio that there couldn't possibly be anything more fun than being in radio. I think that idea attracted us probably more than anything else. And I've always said, after all of these years, you know, I've been at CBS now for 37 years and for 7 years before that at ABC, and, you know, ever since I got out of school, out of college in 1954, I've really done nothing but work in radio and to some extent more recently in television, but I don't know what I would do if I wasn't on the radio. I think that I'm pretty lucky to have had that there as a possible thing, and it sure does, as I say, beat working for a living.
Do you remember the first time you met a stranger who was not really a stranger because he knew you? He had heard you on the radio.
I can remember when that happened, and it was when I was in Washington. I was working for the Classical Music Radio. It was the first really professional radio job that I had. It was a very small station. It was a combo operation, meaning you operated you played your own records. And, you know, to my surprise, one day I was talking with somebody, and they said, aren't you on the WGMS? And I thought, wow, I kind of like that. I'm sure that happens to you all the time, Bob.
Do you know why we're talking here?
It's not just your
book. You were the first person I interviewed for Morning Edition, and I wanted you to be the last.
My goodness. How many years ago was it we did the first one, Bob?
24 and a half.
My goodness. Well, time does fly, doesn't it?
You're the Alpha and Omega.
My goodness. Well, it's been a busy 25 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, we had nothing to say, did we?
Well, the thing about the book is that you realize, you know, the kind of stuff that people's lives are made up of today, and even the kind of the material for the broadcast that you and I have done, it's just a very, very different world now. But you know, you adjust.
Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, Bob, and good luck to you. And you got many, many, many years and great things to accomplish in this business.
Charles Osgood, author of Defending Baltimore Against Enemy Attack, A Boyhood Year During World War II. Many thanks to the hundreds who have worked with me on 30 years of NPR programs and have done their best to make me sound like I know what I'm talking about. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.